So good morning. Thank you so much for coming back to the show. I'm Twanda Black, your host and conference speaker, author, mom, and wife. Kathy Lipp joins me to talk about her new book, Overwhelmed, How to Quiet the Chaos and Restore Your Sanity. She wrote this along with her friend, Sherry Gregory, and it's a phenomenal, phenomenal book. If you want to know why you're all crazy about stuff, or why you're not too crazy about stuff, you need to get this book. How are you doing this morning, Kathy?
Well, after that intro, how else could I be doing? I'm great. Thank you. I'm so glad you found the book useful.
I did. Because it really talks to, I mean, some people, they thrive on chaos. I am not that kind of person. Chaos drives me crazy. So, but some people love it. They're not happy unless it's chaotic.
I think when those people, you know, when we talk about people who thrive on chaos, I think it's either for a short amount of time or sometimes they're covering up something else that's going on in their lives. And so, yeah, I think there probably is like 1% of the population that actually chaos is okay for
them. Is their life,
but I think for the rest of us, we're covering something up that's harder to deal with. And
wow.
We just say, oh, chaos is easier, because I lead a group of women who are trying to get out from their clutter chaos, and they used to tell themselves, oh, I'm just so much better when I have stuff going on around me, and they've come to find out it was just an excuse. So, you know, getting to the heart of it really helps.
So talk about, in the book, you talk about 5 ways that we become overwhelmed, and then we want to talk about this personality traits, which I absolutely love.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think that there are so many... you know, we can get overwhelmed by the ways that we can get overwhelmed. I think that one of the things that often helps is, one, to understand who you are and how you make decisions. And so, like, one is, because we really feel that overwhelm, a lot of it is decision fatigue. So the first way is, you can't make new decisions it's too hard to make new decisions. And so when you are trying, making a new decision stymies you completely. Number two, I become overwhelmed when I have trouble making the right decision.
Yeah.
So you're somebody capable of making decisions, but you get stymied but there might be a more right decision. And so we get stuck and we don't do anything. I become overwhelmed when I don't execute the decisions I've made. So I've made a decision, but I have open loops on things, or I haven't even started on them. And so that can make us overwhelmed. I become overwhelmed when I'm dealing with the consequences of poor past decisions. So maybe there's something that happened to you, 15 minutes ago or 15 years ago.
Wow.
It almost doesn't matter. It's this decision that you made that you can't go back. And so you live in regret and you stay stuck. And then there are those of us who have circumstances, whether it's a disabled child, an aging parent, a disability ourselves, where we become overwhelmed because we have circumstances that we have very little control over.
Yeah, yeah. I think about, gosh, I was so tired of making decisions for myself and my children because I was a single mom. Now, that was something for me. When is it going to end? I'm tired of making all these decisions. And sometimes you make the wrong decision.
Right. And especially because I've been a single mom as well. When you have no backup.
Yeah.
When you have nobody else nobody else's wisdom to rely on, and you are the bottom line, that is very, very overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, we try to have really practical solutions in there. In the last, portion of me being a single mom, I finally got some good people around me to say, hey, I'm not good at this finance stuff. Could you help me out? My car, I don't know anything about cars. Can you help me make the right decision so that I'm not overwhelmed by making the wrong decision or poor decisions all the time?
Wow. Wow. Yeah, it's a really interesting place to be. Single mom, single dad, sometimes, it's a really interesting place to be. Now, you say you give 5 habits for handling decision fatigue, because I think that's important, is knowing how to not be so tired of just having to do everything.
Right. And so what we talk about, we call them, you know, the habit, habits for handling decision fatigue. And you can't, so the first one is you need to know what your options are, because you can't make a new decision until you know what your options are. And once you know your options, boy, there's freedom in that.
Right.
And, you know, because when we're trying to make the perfect decision, it just makes you crazy. But when you have options, you're good to go.
Mm-hmm.
The second one, I love this little formula. Conviction plus avoidance equals guilt.
Yeah.
But conviction plus obedience equals freedom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no use arguing with God about what he's already told you to do.
Right.
And so that's just wasted breath, my friend, and nobody needs that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then the next thing is, when we understand that the more persecuted I feel, the more overwhelmed I am. And so knowing, accepting consequences is really, really important, especially for past decisions, and being realistic with ourselves. And then once we do that, we can move on into healthy living.
Mm-hmm.
It makes such a huge difference. And so one, so number three is don't avoid. And number four is take responsibility.
Yes.
And understanding, when we are trying to make these simple choices, I have to reassure myself, you know, especially in these circumstances where I don't have a lot of choice in the decision, it's not that I'm stupid. I would tell myself all the time, everybody else would know what to do in this circumstance.
Mm.
I'm the only one who doesn't know, which is a lie straight from the pit of hell.
Mm-hmm.
It just is.
Mm-hmm.
It'll keep us feeling stupid and immobilized. And so we have to make small decisions. And when we make those small decisions, we can kind of test the waters and see which way is it good to go on.
Yeah. You there's a chapter in the book about us being our own worst enemies, too. And sometimes when we don't bring in anybody else, when we don't pray, when we don't really focus in on there are alternatives to whatever the issue is, you know, the devil just, he has a field day with your mind.
It's so true.
Mm-hmm.
And, those lies, they start off as roots of truth.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you couldn't make a decision here. Well, of course, lots of people can't make decisions in the very first minute, in the very first moment. But we can get wise counsel. But the lie is that it's all up to us.
Right.
And that if we were smarter, we'd know better. Or if we worked hard, we'd know better.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, that's exactly what it is. It's a total lie.
Yes, yes, yes. Now, my favorite chapter, one of my favorite. This one and Sabbath are my two favorite chapters.
Oh.
The mystery of me, understanding the past and the present you. So let's talk about these personalities. And I was telling Kathy before we started that I am two of those, and my husband is probably two as well. But she said we have the perfect combination. But anyway.
You do. Powerful stuff, my friend. It really is.
Yes.
Yeah. So when you understand your unique personality, it can help you understand what overwhelms you. And so the four different personalities, let me just go through these real quick.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an expressive. And what overwhelms an expressive, and this is somebody who, they're probably the life of the party. I always love to start off with the good things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, life of the party, we're very fun. We can get people to do things. Not great on finishing things up.
Mm-hmm.
We're great starters, not great finishers. But expressives get really overwhelmed when life is not fun.
Wow.
And so knowing that, especially if you're married to an expressive and they are seeming really overwhelmed, it may be a trip, time for a trip to the park or to go on a long car ride or to do whatever, go see a funny movie. But when life becomes no fun, they become overwhelmed, and it's very hard to get out from that.
Mm.
An analytic. Now, this name practically names itself.
Mm-hmm.
This is somebody. My husband's an analytic. He is an engineer here in Silicon Valley and, is great at numbers and details and stuff. But what happens with an analytic, they become overwhelmed when life is not perfect. Now,
yeah.
We know that life can't be perfect. But when there's too much going on that's not perfect and they have no control over it, that can be very, very frustrating.
Very much. So I'm part analytic.
Yeah. And so you said your house is in a little chaos right now.
Because we're doing some remodeling. And matter of fact, we got to have a roof put on. So it's like all these different things going on. So when I go up the stairs and I get on the landing and I can see in any of the rooms, they all look like we just moved in. So I just want to close the doors.
Many of the other personalities, that would be okay. Yeah, if you're able to close the door, that might be good until you can get to it, because I know you haven't forgotten it. Now, somebody like me could totally forget the mess behind there, but to not be reminded of it at every moment is really good.
Talk about the driver. I'm a driver too.
Well, right? Yeah, so the drivers gets overwhelmed when life is out of control, when there's stuff going on that is not able to be put on a to-do list, that kind of thing. And so what they will tend to do is they'll make snap decisions because they feel like a bad decision is better than no decision at all, which is exactly the opposite. And so when we know that, we can help people say, okay, let's get some good counsel on this decision, even if we don't have it. And then amiable, which is, you know, just as it sounds, somebody who is a little bit more laid back, is a little bit more able to take things as they come. Amiable becomes overwhelmed when life is full of pressure from others. So amiables do, you know, like during finals week, that's a tough time for them. Deadlines at work. They're pretty steady and consistent, and so when there's a lot of anxiety from other people, it can be really, really tough.
Wow. Wow. Good stuff. And just to know who you are and what overwhelms you so that, you know, you can prepare yourself, because a lot of times if you're a procrastinator, it just kills everything.
Yeah. And, you know, I really believe that procrastination is a form of perfectionism. I'll do it when I have the right amount of time. I'll do it when I have the right amount of energy, all that kind of stuff. Well, that time almost never happens. So we need to be able to say, I need to do this imperfectly right now.
Now, Sherry wrote about the highly sensitive person. And I think there is not a person on earth that does not know this person.
Yes, it's so true. So the highly sensitive person, these are the people that they are just, their superpower is they are more sensitive in life. And so emotionally sensitive, oftentimes physically sensitive to touch or smell or sight. You know, they get overwhelmed very, very easily. And I love the illustration that Sherry uses in there. Everybody, speakers and writers have their favorite stories. I wish this was my story. This is hers, though.
Story about Bobby,
Bobby and the
jam.
So what happens really quickly is that she goes on vacation, and her nephew brings a friend along, and Bobby is very, very allergic to peanut butter. And so what he does is he physically carries his own jam jar, and he puts it in the refrigerator, and he puts a little skull and crossbones, Bobby's jam, do not eat, may cause death. And so this little kid, I think he was 8 or 9 at the time, said, I could die if I have a, because if somebody dips their knife into the peanut butter and then dips it into the jam and I eat it. So he knew this about himself. So he carried his own jam jar. Plus, he came with instructions on where the closest emergency rooms were. His mom had researched all of this. So he took care of his own needs. And Sherry says, if you're a highly sensitive person, you cannot expect the world to take care of your needs. And this is good advice for the rest of us as well. But to say, I need to take care of my own needs. I know when I need extra sleep. I know when I need extra time for a project. And I know when I need to ask for those things and not think that people will magically know I need them.
Now, we're going to skip to the last chapter, resting in Sabbath restoration. And you says that Sabbath says that for 24 hours, I'm going to truly trust that it's not all up to me. God is faithful to what he sees, and he doesn't need my tiny efforts to accomplish his huge will. Have I elevated my efforts so much that I think God needs me to accomplish his will? When did I stop looking at serving him as a privilege and start thinking serving him is just another item on my to-do list? You hit it. You nailed it, because that's really where we are. I don't have time to have Sabbath. I got too much to do. And
God's given me too much to do. Now, he's commanded Sabbath for the rest of the world.
Right.
But apparently, Kathy gets a special dispensation because I'm too important, and which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But it's amazing how we can convince ourselves in our brains that it's all up to us. And so I believe that Sabbath is just it's a modern, radical act of trust.
Mm-hmm.
And saying, God, I trust you with my time. I trust you with my energy. I trust you with my everything. And to be able to rest and enjoy that gift God has given us instead of having to hustle all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, that's everything.
And every day of the week and not take a rest. We can't even hear from God because we never stop.
Right. It's so true. And, you know, I know that I am poorer for it. I look at the times that I did not rest on
mm-hmm.
Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what was I so busy doing? I can't remember.
But I love Kathy that you talk about Sabbath is not this formal concrete drill sergeant kind of thing. It's fluid, and you make your Sabbath whatever day you need to make your Sabbath.
Yeah, because I have an unusual job where oftentimes I'm
same
working
here.
On the skin.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, most of the time it's from sundown on Saturday till sun up. Excuse me. Basically dinner to dinner, Saturday
mm-hmm.
to Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we are able to do that, it's amazing. I'm more connected with my husband. We linger longer. We have the ability to have our kids over and not feel rushed because we have nothing that has to get done
mm-hmm.
except to connect with each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you say for so many years you got it wrong. I used my Sabbath to prepare for the rest of the week when I should have used my week to prepare for Sabbath. And guys, you need to get this because what she's really talking about is that you prepare so that there's nothing you need to do from that sundown to sunup or sunup to sundown. Right? Right, Kathy?
Yeah. So we can, you know, we prepare, you know, you can get your laundry done in 6 days.
Mm-hmm.
I promise
mm-hmm.
you. We had 4 kids living here at the same time. It is possible. You can get your meals prepped. You can do all those things. You can get your work done.
Yeah.
And then you still have Sunday night because as soon as it gets dark, you are able to jump back into the rat race. But
mm-hmm.
I have to tell you, on Sunday nights, it takes me a little bit longer to jump back in than it used to.
That's right. But at least you're rested and re-energized,
yeah.
you know? I
yeah.
love it.
Well, it feels
mm-hmm.
good. I want to linger. You know, at the beginning of Sabbath, I want to resist it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end, I want to linger.
Right, right. You know, it's like vacation.
you yes,
know, all
exactly.
the hustle and bustle of getting there. Oh, and I love the part where you talk about just get on the ship, but we don't have time to talk about that
one. Oh, yeah.
Love that.
Another time.
Love that, love that. But you say, but on Sabbath, God assures you, not today. There's nothing else you have to do today. And I love that.
Right.
I love that. We've got to, you know, really take that into our hearts and our spirits that we must rest. I know some days I have 7-day work days, but then on certain days I rest. I don't do anything. You can barely get me off the bed. But
right.
but we've got to plan for our Sabbath, and it can be flexible. It doesn't have to be the day that you think it's going to be, and plan for it. I love that. We've got to get to that point because life is becoming faster and faster and more of a rat race.
It really is. And it's so heartbreaking that we have to, you know, that we feel that we have to be that way when God has told us, I've got this.
Yeah.
I've got this.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not all about you. I got this. It's okay. Oh, it's a phenomenal book, Kathy. I enjoy it so much, and it's going to help so many people. Again, folks, it's called Overwhelmed, How to Quiet the Chaos and Restore Your Sanity. Kathy Lipp and Sherry Gregory are the authors. And Kathy, give everybody social media. Are you touring for this book?
We are. We're doing, we've been going around and speaking on it, and we've had such a great time.
Mm-hmm. What's the social media? Website.
Oh, social media. If you find Facebook, Kathy Lipp, author,
mm-hmm.
and Twitter, just Kathy Lipp.
Okay, now that's KathiLipp, Kathy Lipp.
Right.
Kathy, thank you so much for joining us. The book is phenomenal. Please tell Sherry we love this book.
Oh, Twanda, I will pass it on. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.